Okay, open up your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 7. Remember, I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us and continually shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we ask this day as we look into your word that we get the full revelation out of it. We get an understanding out of it that we can work with, that we can operate in, and we can take and build on this and operate in your kingdom the way you desire us to. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, all the way through the Old Testament, they had types and shadows of Jesus, and whatever we do, we're supposed to try to find Jesus, you know, try to identify him in these things and different deals. And then in the book of John, we're going to see it in a little different way. The Jews were always celebrating these feasts, and Jesus fulfilled several of these feasts, and he's going to fulfill all of them eventually. But right here in the book of John, chapter 7, verse 37, says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So we've been studying about the Holy Spirit and his, the way he operates with the church and individual believers. And this right here is foundation for that. Now, they were at the great day of the feast. They were celebrating this feast. Now, what would happen during the first 7 days is these people would make these sacrifices for all these different nations. Now, on the eighth day, the high priest would take a golden vessel, and go over to the Pool of Siloam and fill that vessel with that water from the Pool of Siloam and go back to the altar. And here's the thing. Gold in the Old Testament would signify deity. Remember when they made the Ark of the Covenant? The mercy seat was beaten out of pure gold. That's deity. And then that ark was covered, you know, that ark was made of acacia wood, which is incorruptible wood, and then it was covered with gold. So incorruptible would be Jesus. He's an incorruptible human. And then laid with gold, signifying deity. See, Jesus is all God, and on this earth, he was all man, incorruptible man. He didn't have Adam's blood in him, and he never, ever sinned. That's why when he got on the cross, it was illegal for Satan to kill him, because he never broke the law. See, the punishment for breaking the law was death on the cross, and Jesus never broke the law. So because he did that in our place, he could set us free to take his place. Always remember this. When Jesus was on that cross and he said, "It is finished," that changed absolutely everything. Everything changed at that minute. We were no longer under the law. We got brought into a covenant of grace. Amen? The way they did things before the cross was not the way they did things after the cross. Now we got church that's mixed up. They're still trying to do things the way they did before the cross. I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And I said, he did it with a pure heart. You know, he was really trying to go forward. And I said, okay, Jesus did say that. So it's the absolute truth. But what side of the cross did he say that on? He said, well, that was before he died on the cross. I said, yes. See, this is important. I said, Jesus had to fulfill all righteousness. And the people he was talking to were Pharisees and scribes. And they were quizzing him about the law. So he told them about the law. So what does it say after the cross? It says, believe the love that God has for you. Amen? So anyway, this priest would go to this pool of Siloam. Now remember, we talked about that pool of Siloam when the blind man, and Jesus told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means the sent one. So they took this golden vessel filled with the water from the pool of Siloam. They would do that on the eighth day of that feast. It was the great day of assembly. Everybody was there. Everybody was there. They were offering sacrifices. Then on this day, the priest would draw the water from the pool of Siloam in a golden vessel. He'd bring it into the temple, and at the time of the morning sacrifice, while it was on the altar, he poured this water mingled with wine upon it. The people all the while singing with great joy. And it was perhaps at this time that the Lord made his great prophecy of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the life of each believer in him. That happened right there in verse 37-39. Jesus literally, he stood up. The Bible tells, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So Jesus qualified everybody. If any man, Jesus said this, if any man, and we're going to kick a religious cow in the butt here in a little bit, but we've got to do that every once in a while, because what happens is religious leaders will disqualify people. And they'll believe it. And they won't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, our job as ministers are continually trying to qualify people. Show people how they're qualified. Remember, Jesus said, any man, the Bible tells us that all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there's people that are running around thinking that they don't qualify for salvation because somebody told them that or led them to believe that. We need to be on God's side on this. Jesus said, any man. Now, did he say any man that doesn't smoke? Did he say any man that doesn't drink? Did he say any man that doesn't give tithes and offerings? Did he say, any man that goes to church every time the door swings open? He say, any man that fasts until his ribs pop out? Say, any man with any other kind of character defect? No. He said, any man that believes. Now, these other things, I'm not condoning those things. I'm not saying go do that. I'm not saying, because those are unhealthy things. That's not good for you. Amen. But here's the thing. There's people that have gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit and prayed in tongues, and they got off cigarettes. How cool is that? What happened? They got the power of God on their life, and they used it, and He cleaned the vessel. You know, here's the thing. The Bible does say to walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Somehow, the church continually keeps on getting this in reverse. They say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, you'll be able to walk in the Spirit. That's just not true. And that keeps people bound up in chains. I tried for a long time to get my life right so I could walk in the Spirit. And people would mean well. They'd say, you need to quit drinking, quit smoking, quit running around, quit hanging out at the bars. And then they'd always say this. I don't know how they, why. They say, then you go marry some young girl and go to church. And I didn't think about that while I was down at the bar. Honestly, I think about that a lot. I think, I've quit drinking hundreds of times. And it never sticks. No, how many times I quit smoking? And as far as some young girl, man, I don't know. As far as I know, I'm crazy. I'm too crazy to marry. I don't know how I'm ever going to get my life right. So I go to church. You see the thinking there? But that's what they were telling me. They say, you go get your life right and go to church. And just in reverse. Go to church so Jesus can get your life right. Amen? That's why I started going to church. I was a sick critter. I needed help, and I knew it. There's a lot of people that need to be going to church so Jesus can help them. Amen? That's why, you know, that's the one thing about redemption. We need to understand about redemption. Redemption is a messy process. It's like cleaning a fish. You know, you're going to get stuff all over you. But don't worry about it. Just keep encouraging people. Keep lifting people up. Keep praying for people. And don't worry about it. God's going to get them cleaned. He's the husbandman. We're ministers. We encourage people. Help them get cleaned up. But don't get discouraged. Amen? Just keep going forward. Keep going forward and keep encouraging people. Don't give up on them. You know, we need to be grateful that somebody didn't give up on us. I don't know who the driving force behind me was completely. There were several people that kept witnessing to me. I know there was people that kept praying for me. And in spite of myself, their prayers and the grace of God kept me alive. Amen? Well, I want you to see more of this here. In that last day of the feast, we went through all that. He would take that golden vessel, significant of Jesus, full of that living water. Down here, verse 38 says, He that believeth on me, This confirms the fact that any man of every race, any generation, from the beginning of the fulfillment of this prophecy, can experience the rivers of living water. He that believeth. See, we build our life on that. He that believes that God raised Jesus back to life and confesses with his mouth shall be saved, right? And right here, Jesus is saying this. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, this is where we pray in tongues. I'm telling you, God can teach you things when you pray in tongues. And it comes up out of your belly, and that knowledge comes up out of there. You know, the greater one's on the inside of you. See, you can pray in tongues and have the understanding. You let God bring that revelation to you. But the first thing is to be born again. The second thing is to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Do you see any disqualifications in there? This is Jesus right here. This is Jesus talking right here. He said, he that believeth. He pretty much qualified every single person. Right there. You know, I've seen so many times, I've seen preachers say, you got sin in your life, you're smoking, you're doing this, whatever, you can't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who do they think they are? Did they die on the cross? No. Jesus said, he that believeth. See, one thing that really helps is to understand some of the stuff that's happened in church history. In the Corinthian church, the Corinthian church was completely out of control. You know, they would be on the Dr. Phil show today. If they were alive today, they would be on the Dr. Phil show. They would be the biggest scandal that ever hit the church world. The tabloids would be completely inside out. Crazy. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit were operating freely through them. What's going on here? These guys were living in sin, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit were operating freely through them. They were living by grace. Now, Paul, he didn't condone what they were doing, but he went in there and he reminded them who they were and built them up, tried to get them living in line with the Word. Now, the people that he got after was the Galatians, because they started mixing the law and works with grace. The church today does that a lot, and they call it balance. And Jesus calls it mixture. It won't do. Let's carry on here. He that believeth. He that believeth. Well, that's what we are. We're believers. We're believers. You know, I found some conditions for receiving the Holy Spirit in here. Number one, you got to be thirsty for it. You got to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, I was reading in the Bible. I hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was born again, but I was reading in the Bible. I could see in there where the early disciples, they'd be going along and they'd be up on top of the devil one minute, and then they'd be getting chased away the next minute, you know, and then they'd be walking on water. They'd be thinking, you know, they'd be doing really good, and then they'd be on the run again. And I thought, what in the world? Then I noticed in Acts they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were not ducking around no more. They were winning. They might be getting persecuted. They might even be getting killed, but they were still winning. They didn't back down no more. And I realized that I needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I wanted it. So I went down to my pastor and I said, I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She said, I think you're right. So I got that. But what happened there? I was thirsty for that. This means you have an eager, keen, and all-consuming craving and passion of your soul for a complete union with God in the fullness of His Spirit. I wanted to be like that. I wanted to receive what He had, everything that He had. And I found out I could have that. That's all you need. You need to be thirsty to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You got to want it. Here's another condition. So you found out the first condition didn't disqualify anybody. Other than, you know, if you don't want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's some people that don't. But if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can have that. The second condition is to come unto Jesus. It means a complete surrender of your life to do the whole will of God as light is received. You know, that's what Jesus did. You know, He walked a sinless life. He walked in righteousness. And then He went and got baptized in water, and then He got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We do the same thing. He tells us to get born again. And then you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or you can get baptized in water. Or you can get baptized in water and get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, it doesn't have to be in any particular order. One friend of mine got water baptized and he came up speaking in tongues. He just went in there believing God for everything that he could get. You know, I had a pastor tell me one time, said, it's got to be this way. You have to get born again first. He was right. He was right. Then he said, then you have to get water baptized, and then you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, no, that's not right. You could be out in a desert where there's no water, and you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then when you get somewhere where you can get dunked, then you can get water baptized. Don't disqualify people, and don't ever disqualify yourself. You're qualified. Jesus qualified you. Amen? So we go to Jesus. He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit, He does the operation of getting people born again. You know, we witness to Him, but it's His work in their heart that does that. And then Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit. Amen. We get to dunk people. That's fun. I always try to look at people and say, this one's going to be a sinker. I mean, some of them just drop. I mean, some of them just sink. Some of them float, and you got to catch them by the belly and push them down. Some of them just freeze up and get stiff, you know. You never know. Maybe one of these days I'm waiting for some brat to put a bunch of Alka-Seltzer in his mouth just before he goes in the water. You got to have a little bit of fun with this stuff. The third qualification is to drink of this Holy Spirit. This means the wholehearted reception into one's life of the gifts the fruit, the operations of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and receive Him. Say, you know, I want this. I want all that I can get. I want Jesus to operate in my life. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to operate in my life. I want to be able to do the things that the Bible says I can do. Amen. Jesus said you could have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Why not just go for it? That's what we need. That's what we want. The fourth qualification is to believe on me. As the scripture has said, believe on Jesus. Believe on Him. This means to believe in and obey to the letter of the whole gospel program. Believe what He did. Remember, everything is about believing on Him. Believing on what He did for you on the cross. So I tell you to look to the cross all the time. One of the Bible school, Glenn Smith, used to say that a crossless message is a powerless message. And that gets more and more evident all the time. We got to go to the cross for everything. Every need was met at the cross. Believe on Him. That's how you believe on Jesus. Believe what He did in His death, burial, and resurrection. We believe in His resurrection for our salvation. Amen. Believe in His priesthood as a baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Believe in His name, that He told us to use His name, and that He would do the doing. If we do the asking, He'd do the doing. Yeah? Believe in His shed blood at that cross that washes us, continually washes us, protects us. Everything is at the cross. It says to believe on Him. That's the basis of faith. When you're believing what He did for you by grace, faith is going to happen in your heart. I remember trying to have faith. I mean, you don't get to go on a tour through the Word of Faith circles without this challenge of trying to have more faith. And trying to build more faith in your heart. Meditating on the scriptures and reading the Bible and praying and fasting and doing everything you can to have more faith. And then when I finally started looking at Jesus and seeing everything that He did for me by grace, faith started happening. Faith just started happening almost without any effort. It's like, I'd see Him and His grace, and it'd be like these challenges were just like, no more. Sometimes my wife would say, we got some big challenges, and you just don't seem to care. And she'd remind me of them, and I'd get a little bit troubled at heart, and then I had to get myself back onto the thing, and I'd get focused back on the cross, and say, no. No, Jesus has this. Well, what are you going to do by worrying? Jesus said you cannot add one cubit to your stature by worrying. Amen. And what is this challenge in the eyes of faith? Worrying about it isn't going to change it, but faith will. And when you see Him in His grace and everything that He's done for you by grace, faith is going to be strong in your heart. See now why? See why I tell you to meditate on His Word? Find a scripture that He did for you by grace and meditate on that scripture. Meditate on it all the time. And then learn another one. And then learn another one. And then learn another. What's going on? I mean, you're getting light into your heart. You're getting light into your soul. and it's changing your life. And that light of God, that life of God, that life of Jesus flowing through you is going to change the situations around you. That's how faith operates. But if we focus on His grace, get His grace flowing through our hearts, faith will happen. But if you want to just grind it out and try to be a faith giant on your own, that's okay. But there's a better way. Focus on Him and His grace and let His supernatural faith flow through you. Amen. And it'll be an effortless faith. Then you don't have to be such a hot rod no more. You can just rely on Jesus. Amen. And you're still operating in faith, which is what you're supposed to do. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. That's how you do it. Believe on Him. Well, you don't know about this big prayer need that I've got. Believe on Him. But this guy's got cancer. Believe on Him. Copycat Him. Amen. You know why I curse cancer and tell it to be pulled out of their body and cast into the sea? I'm just copying Him. He did it to the fig tree. Amen. And that fig tree died. That cancer dies. I didn't think that up on my own. I've never had an original thought in my life. I'm copycatting what I learned in the Bible. Why would I do that? Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. Why would I do anything different? I see it in the Bible, so I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. That's how you do it. We don't have to come up with anything new. We don't have to come up with anything fancy. All we got to do is find it in the Bible and copy that. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that every time we take your word into our hearts, it builds faith. We can live by grace, knowing that your life in us is going to produce faith, is going to produce fruit, going to produce life, and it's going to change circumstances. It changes difficulties. It changes challenges. It doesn't change God. He stays the same. But He changes us so that we can change the things around us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.